I think especially as a young woman writer, there's a lot of pressure to be kind of friendly and personable and not prickly and to look a certain way and be approachable in ways that, you know, aren't necessarily comfortable.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley. Welcome back to the Finding the Throughline interview with Antonia Engress. If this is the first you're hearing of Antonia, go back 2 episodes ago and hear her full bio and hear more about her wonderful first novel, Sirens and Muses. And then keep listening to find out the practical things that help Antonia do her work, as well as the inner stuff we covered in the most recent episode that dropped on Wednesday. Today, we're going to be finding out what's currently brewing for Antonia and what she knows at this moment about where her personal through line is leading her next. So, Antonia, I'm curious, what kinds of things are perking up your ears lately? Maybe for the first time ever or again, but something that you're just kind of starting to tune into more.
Well, I've been reading a lot. I'm about to have my first child, and I've been reading a lot more work by writers who are also mothers. Kind of in preparation for the ways in which my life is going to change. Also, frankly, just for like tips on how to kind of juggle those two aspects of my life. And also because I think we're sort of living through this. There have been like so many really great, I think, works of fiction in particular about motherhood that have come out recently. I'm thinking, for example, of The School for Good Mothers by Jessamine Chan, Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder. So I've been thinking a lot about the literature of motherhood and consuming a lot of that, both fiction and nonfiction.
Oh, excellent. I haven't heard of Night Bitch. That's like an amazing title. I immediately want to know more. Do you have creative role models, people that you really look to?
Yeah. I was actually just having a conversation with a friend recently, actually, about sort of literary publicity and the kinds of things that you have to do as a writer to promote your work. I think especially as a young woman writer, there's a lot of pressure to be kind of friendly and personable and not prickly and to look a certain way and be approachable in ways that, you know, aren't necessarily comfortable. I was telling my friend that I aspire to, as a writer, to get to a place where, the way that I jokingly put it, is a place where I can just be a hermit and like let my work stand on its own. But I think two writers who've really been able to do that, who've really been able to sort of remove themselves from like the publicity machine, are Otessa Moshfegh, who was actually my teacher when I was undergrad at Brown. So she's a mentor who I know personally.
Okay.
And have sort of been able to follow her career up close. And then another writer who I really admire, both for her work and for her ability to resist that sort of resist the machinations of publishing and publicity that I think can kind of threaten to devour you as a young woman, is Rachel Kushner, who is a novelist and an essayist. Just from my observation, I think it's a lot easier for male writers to not be on social media and not do interviews and be just kind of recluses and let their work stand
on their
own.
Like the J.D. Salinger school.
Like the J.D. Salinger school. I'm not necessarily saying I want to, like, I aspire to that degree of reclusivity. I like meeting readers. One of the great joys of publishing a first novel was getting to talk to readers who connected with the book, getting messages from readers who connected with the book. I love that. That was really fulfilling and meaningful to me. But I would love to not have to be on social media. You know, I would love to get to a place where I can just sort of let my work speak for itself.
Yeah. I feel that. That's really interesting that it seems easier for male writers. I hadn't really considered that. I'm going to have to ponder that one. I'm curious, are there changes that either you know you're making? We happen to be talking while you're pregnant, so there is a life change that is clear. But are there other, perhaps less clear changes that you either know you need to make or you're in the process of making, or you've recently started to think like, yeah, it's time to shift that?
I think right now, most of those changes are, I know that my life is about to change in a very big way. And so I have been thinking a lot about this. I'm lucky enough that while I do have, like many writers, while I do have a day job, it's not full time. And I really have a lot of empty time during my day to focus on my creative work. That's a huge privilege. I also know I have a tendency to like squander that time sometimes and to think, oh, I have a 5-hour block. I'm going to vacuum the rugs right now instead of looking at my novel, or I'm going to read another chapter of this super engrossing novel that I'm in the middle of instead of looking at my work, because I have 5 hours. I have lots of time. What I've heard from writers who have children is that you get a lot better at using your time efficiently and knowing, okay, I have childcare for 5 hours. I better use every single minute of those 5 hours. So that's the habit that I'm hoping to change. And I'm hoping that this baby is going to force me to.
Yeah. Yes. And shout out to the babysitters who will help you do that too. Babysitters are a wonderful thing. And what's your grooviest idea? Just what would completely delight you if it came to pass? So your grooviest idea of what might be coming up either next or maybe like three nexts from now.
Oh, I'm sure this is a very common answer when you talk to novelists, but I would love to see my work adapted for the screen. Mm. I would love to participate in that, you know, in that process. I have a few writer friends who are adapting their novels either to TV or film. And that, you know, that's a whole world that I really know nothing about. And that, you know, is very different and exciting. And for most books, that doesn't happen. But that would be a really cool thing if it were to happen someday.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Okay, well, from your lips to God's ears.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit into the final five questions, which are a little more specific and not necessarily work related. But I love hearing the answers to these questions. What is the last book or show, or you could say both if you have both, that you stayed up too late because you just couldn't put it down?
I just finished the novel The Immortal King Rao by Vahini Vera, which was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize last year. Highly, highly recommend it. It's a very entertaining but also very profound novel about a lot of things. But it centers around a young woman telling the story of her father's life, who was born in a small village in India and rose to become a tech billionaire. Mm. So it's about technology and how technology devours our lives. Mm. It's about fathers and daughters. It's about memory and recollection. It's a wonderful, wonderful novel, and it's kind of hard to give a good elevator pitch, but it's a book that I'd been hearing about for a long time, and I finally got a copy from the library and sat down to read it and devoured it in a couple days.
Love it. And tell us the name of the title again. I'll put it in the show notes.
It's called The Immortal King Rao.
Okay, great. Thank you. And what is your morning beverage of choice? I know you mentioned coffee, but is there anything specific about the way that you have that first cup?
Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law got us an espresso machine for Christmas a few years ago. So I make myself a latte every morning. Mm.
Nice.
Probably with too much sugar.
And milk? We're talking like whole milk, or are you using the milk?
Yeah. One of my pregnancy cravings has been milk. I'm drinking huge amounts of milk, which I never used to. But yeah, it's like half milk, half espresso, or like probably more like 2/3 milk, 1/3 espresso.
It sounds delicious. And what either song or kind of music do you listen to when you need to pick me up?
Taylor Swift. I've loved Taylor Swift since I was a teenager. I recently, like in the last couple of years, I've had the delightful experience of watching my 32-year-old husband discover Taylor Swift and become a late-in-life Swiftie. That's been fun. And he works from home sometimes and will often listen to Taylor Swift while he's working. So I'll get, you know, from his office, I'll hear the sounds of my adolescence emanating, and it's always
funny. Are y'all in the same era? Like,
well, sometimes he'll listen to, well, he'll go back to like very early discography, and he'll be listening to something that I was listening to when I was, you know, 17.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched the Eras documentary or whatever it's called, the concert movie recently, and he was so into it. He recently confessed that he's really hoping Taylor Swift is still relevant when our daughter is like 10 or so he can take her to a concert.
At this rate, I think he's in the clear. Do you have a favorite time, whether that's a day or a time of year? Like, if you could place yourself anywhere in the calendar, where would it be?
I really like the afternoons. The afternoons for me are the most productive and creative time of day. In terms of calendar year, I live in Minnesota, which, as you probably know, has really intense winters. Although this winter, weirdly, it's like 50 degrees outside right now, which for February is like unheard of. But there is nothing like a Minnesota summer.
Mm.
It's so beautiful. It stays dark. I mean, it stays a light out till like 10 o'clock. It's really lush and green. I live like a few blocks from the Mississippi River, so often I'll go on these evening walks right by the water. But yeah, Minnesota summertime, I think, is my favorite time of year.
It sounds beautiful. And what meal would you ask for if somebody said that they would make or order absolutely anything that you want?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I want to say like a really simple but well-made pasta dish, like spaghetti carbonara, like from scratch, or like from scratch tomato sauce and pasta with like really good Parmesan.
Mm-hmm. Delish. And finally, anything that you're up to that you want listeners to know about, or where they should come connect with you or keep abreast of what's happening with you?
Well, right now I'm sort of in this quiet place because I'm about to give birth. So I might not be online very much, but you can find me on Instagram. I am at Antonia Angris, just my first name, last name. And I love to get messages from readers. So if you want to reach out, please do. I try to respond to every message that I get. So no promises around this time because I will be busy with a baby, but if you reach out to me, I will try to respond. I usually post news on my Instagram, but I also have a website, just antoniaangris.com.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and my novel is Sirens and Muses. It's out in paperback now, and hopefully I will have another book out, you know, within the next couple of years. Publishing is slow, so it'll be a while, but
all right. Well,
hopefully soon.
We can start to get pumped now. Thank you so much for being here, Antonia. And thank you out there for listening. We'll be back next week to ask another writer mildly invasive questions about their personal throughline. So I hope that you will come back. Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into three episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. And come back next Monday when I'm having a conversation about the creative process with an entirely new person. Until then, wishing you a great weekend.